Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom He died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you. The good news that we have to look forward to, friends, as the children of God, is that Jesus Christ is coming back conquering to take back possession of His earth. Remember, the Bible says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and all those who dwell therein are God's, because by reason of creation He owns all souls and all that actually exists, because He made it or created it all. Ezekiel 18:4 says, "All souls are mine." And the battle of the ages, the war that now rages, is for the souls of every living man, woman, and child. Revelation chapter 13 verse 9 tells us that all sinners are soon going to be rooted out of the earth, out of sight. That's why we have the consignment. That's why He made the consignment of hell to vanquish His enemies out of sight. All sinners are going to soon be rooted out of His earth by Him into the bowels of eternal damnation. Dare we say the burning bowels of eternal damnation? You know, in school we learned way back, I don't know what they're teaching now, but in science, that there was a molten mass in the heart of the earth. And that's exactly where we find the Bible telling us that hell is. Remember what Jesus said concerning hell being in the heart of the earth. Hell is a literal location reserved for, quote, the devil and his angels, unquote. Matthew 25:41, that's what Jesus said. And also those who die in sin, not being washed at the moment of their death, having not repented and remained in Christ to the end. Hell will be cast into the lake of fire, according to Revelation 20:14. Notice hell is not on earth. The fable or the old wives' tale that, you know, quote unquote, hell on earth is actually a deception. Hell is not on earth, friends, but it's in the heart of the earth, quote unquote. Matthew 12:40, "For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." It is said that there are 49 Bible verses which reveal that hell is located in the heart of the earth. Here's two more. Notice Numbers 16:32-33 says this: "And the earth," this is when God's people, some of them had sinned against Him, His own covenant people, by the way, "and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses, and all the men that appertained unto Korah." This was the rebellion of Korah, which we're warned about in the New Testament. "And all their goods," everything, they all went straight into hell, their homes, themselves, everything. "They and all that appertained to them," that agreed with their rebellion, "went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation." Interesting. They went straight down into the fires. The earth opened up as God performed it, and they went straight down into hell. That's where hell is. It's in the heart of the earth. It's not on the surface of the earth. That was Numbers 16. Notice Ezekiel 26:20, "When I shall bring thee down with them that descend into the pit. The Bible uses the term the pit here and in the book of Psalms and perhaps other places. It's talking about the pit of hell. So when we hear the term the pit of hell, that's actually biblical. When I shall bring thee down with them that descend into the pit with the people of old time, and shall set thee in the low parts of the earth. There you go. There it is again, a reference to hell being in the low or the inner parts of the earth. Again, in science growing up, we learned that there was a molten mass in the middle of the earth. And that's absolutely a fact. That's where hell is, although the science teachers didn't tell us that. The Bible tells us that. So in the low parts of the earth is where all rebels are going to go, in places desolate of old, with them that go down to the pit. There it is again. That thou be not inhabited, and I shall set glory in the land of the living. So see, he's going to send the rebels down into the pit of hell, and he is going to set glory in the land of the living. Ezekiel 26:20. Remember, saints, Revelation 21, that the new Jerusalem is going to come down from heaven. Praise God. And so we see this, that God is clearing the earth of all rebels. What we see now in these last days can seem scary, but, you know, God didn't give us this information, the news before the news, to scare us, but rather to prepare us. And as we look deeper into the scriptures, and this is a blessing that we're discussing this right now, we're going to see that God is going to clear the surface of the earth of all rebels and set up his kingdom, because this is his earth. I mean, picture owning a property that you rented out, and the inhabitants, those that were renting your property, just rebelled and beat up the walls and made holes in them. We see this kind of stuff all the time. But as an illustration, and, you know, there was crime going on, they were selling drugs, they were trafficking, whatever, all of this evil, right? What would you do? Ultimately, you'd go in there and you would clear them out, and you would put a compliant, if you will, civilized tenants in that place. You would have to go in there and repair it. And that's what's going to happen, because apparently, according to 2 Peter 3, there's going to be nuclear war. It speaks of the heat and the elements, and God is going to come back. Christ is, and restore his earth. Look at Isaiah at the end of that book, chapter 66. Actually, he first mentions it in 65:17. Now, before we look at this, it's interesting that Isaiah is said to be and observed to be a kind of a microcosmic illustration of the whole Bible. There are 66 books of the canon of Holy Scripture, and there are 66 chapters in the book of Isaiah. And it's interesting how the end of Isaiah ends up with the new heavens and the new earth. Notice 65:17. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered, nor come into mind. And then notice the last chapter, 66:22. For as the new heavens and the new earth which I will make. See, God gives you the end from the beginning. The Bible is the news before the news, as we see in Isaiah 46:9-10, that he declared the end from the beginning. See, only God can do that. And that's why we know the Bible is the only holy book in existence upon his earth. Every other book that claims to be the holy book or a holy book, like the Quran or the Book of Mormon or any of the Jehovah Witness cults writings or anything like that, are absolutely counterfeit, because they don't have the element of prophecy. God foretold hundreds and even thousands of years certain specific things that were going to come to pass, and that they did come to pass, specifically how he said it, which is statistically impossible. Not only did they come to pass, for example, over 300 prophecies of the Messiah that tell us that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, of an absolute certainty, but also as scriptures we see now that God foretold coming to pass. And I would say this message that we're discussing today is definitely of the prophetic nature. Only God could know the end from the beginning. That's why we know the Bible is the only holy book in the earth. And we should be exploring little by little and more prophecy and fulfilled prophecy, the strength in the body of Christ and the win-lost souls. So Isaiah 66:22, for as the new heavens and the new earth, Revelation 21 is all about the new heavens and the new earth. I highly recommend you read that afresh. It's absolutely amazing. For the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, saith the Lord. So shall your seed and your name remain. He goes on to speak a little bit more about it. Let's pick up in verse 24, the last verse of this book. And they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of the men that have transgressed against me, for their worm shall not die. That means their consciousness. That's what Jesus took from his prophet Isaiah when he spoke in the end of Mark 9 and repeatedly said, speaking of the fire that never shall be quenched, and we know that's in the heart of the earth, Matthew 12:40, etc., as we just read. And it speaks of those in that fire that never shall be quenched, that their worm dieth not. That worm dieth not, or as Isaiah said, their worm shall not die. Same thing. It's an idiom that means their consciousness. You can study that out. Their consciousness will not die or cease. See, every human being has a beginning but has no end, period. When you die, if today you die and draw your last breath and you die in Christ, not only because you got saved in the past, but because you died abiding in Christ. You've got to remain. You have responsibility to conduct yourself in compliance in this two-party relationship. Anybody who tries to sell you on this idea that it's a one and done and that your God is forced to bring you to heaven even though he saved you and then you went back into sin is a delusional wolf in sheep's clothing. We call that once saved, they call it once saved, always saved, eternal security. In other words, you're automatically going to heaven because you chose. You know, it's like a man getting engaged to a woman and then allowing her to do anything she wants with any other man and still marrying her. That's what they're teaching and telling, as if the Holy Son of God is going to bring a wicked bride into his bridal chamber. Jesus completely lambasted, dismantled, and destroyed, debunked that foolish, demonic idea in his parable of the 10 virgins, Matthew 25:1-13. Saints, it's time to take God at his word and stop following cliches and false doctrine. These are heretical, and they're designed to make you lukewarm after he saves you. And all it takes, according to Jesus, to go to hell is to get saved and then be lukewarm. Revelation 3:15-16. So the last verse in Isaiah, and they shall go forth. This is kind of a summation of some of the parts of Revelation. And look upon the carcasses of the men that have transgressed against me. Remember in Revelation where he says, all liars, all adulterers, all thieves, all fornicators, etc., etc., shall have their part in the lake of fire. Aren't we being reminded of that as we read this last verse in this microcosmic of the whole Bible, book of Isaiah? You know, like Revelation 21:8, for example, gives several classes of sinners who are going to the lake of fire. And they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of the men that have transgressed against me, for their worm, their consciousness, shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched, and they shall be an abhorring unto all flesh. So apparently the righteous, those that are living on the surface of the earth, are going to be able to look upon the carcasses of the men who died in sin and were vanquished into eternal hell. That would be my observation of this and perhaps others. I wouldn't say that that's an essential to salvation, but it seems pretty obvious that those burning in hell will be viewable to some degree, and that's an eternal memorial of the righteous judgment of God upon all the wicked. Notice again, Isaiah 13:9, behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel, both with wrath. Notice cruel. God is a just God. He's holy, 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 and his cruelty is justified, and it's coming. Behold, it doesn't matter how somebody wants to overemphasize some other divine attribute to undo this. It just doesn't work that way. You don't choose who God is. And if you try to, you're going to be found as a transgressor and vanquished into the bowels of eternal damnations. The true disciple of Jesus says with Paul, let God be true and every man a liar, including and beginning with yourself. One divine attribute does not negate or lessen or diminish aught from another. You have to synthesize all these things, line upon line, precept upon precept. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel, both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate. I mean, this is going to be a clearing out. Wow, this is just severe language. And he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. Isaiah 13, 9. I want you to take a look at that verse, highlight it, and get to know it and share it with others. This is what's coming, saints. All sinners will soon be rooted out of his earth, out of his sight, burning in the bowels of eternal damnation forever, conscious. God sees all, and not one shall escape. Perfect justice is on the horizon. It's coming. And everything we see happening in front of us today is exactly what Jesus said. He said iniquity is going to abound. We're seeing iniquity more and more every day. People doing stuff out on the streets that even 10 years ago they weren't doing, especially not in the rapidity or the plentifulness. What is the word I need here? That we see it today. I mean, we got dozens of people shot in one city, many of them killed every weekend in Chicago, for example. Iniquity is abounding and the love of many is waxing cold. Now that has to be in reference to those who were once saved, at least in part, and now have waxed cold. Have you noticed that about people you haven't talked to in a while and you run into them or you think about them, you call them up or whatever? First of all, they haven't stayed in touch. Nobody can stay in touch with everybody they know, obviously. But I think we all see that the love of many around us has grown cold toward the body of Christ, which means the immediate meaning of that is that they have grown cold toward the Lord. Their love has waxed cold toward the Lord, and that's why they're not loving up on and caring for the body of Christ. They're all about self, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That's sad, but it's true. And Jesus foretold it. And then he says, he that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. There's never been a time in history, my beloved friend, it's more important that you throw logs on the fire of your love for God every day by waking up to seek his face, by crying out to him. And as one of my pastors used to say, don't you ever, ever take any vacation on God. You will slip down so quick you won't know what hit you and be swallowed up in a quagmire, in a quicksand of lukewarmness and backsliding and waxing cold toward Christ and his people quicker than you can bat an eye. One day leads to 2 days, leads to a week, a month, and you're done. Jesus said serving him is daily. Don't ever. I'm telling you as your brother in Christ, I am exhorting you, charging you. Don't you dare hearken to the flesh and say, well, I'm just going to relax and do my own thing today. I'm on vacation. First of all, you're not going to enjoy the vacation. I can tell you that. God set this thing up because he loves us so much that there's something inside of you like that red flashing light on your dashboard saying, son, you better pull this car over because it's something's wrong, right? That's like your conscience. When your conscience is not feeling peace, it's because of your distance from God, your lack of fellowship with him. Listen, if you've done sin, join the club. Bring it before him, lay it at his feet, and call it what it is, and tell him you're sorry. Turn back to him, because that's why you sinned in the first place, because you're not abiding in him. And remain ready for the Lord. Fortify yourself in the Word of God. The Bible says that we nourish up ourselves in the Word of God. Nourished up in the words of eternal life. 1 Timothy 4, verse 6. Stay in the Word. Get in the Word. Stay in the Word. Stay in the Word. Get in the Word. The Word can't get into me until I get into it. The Word can't get into you until you get into it. And keep it. Keep your vessel full of the Word of God, beloved. You know, the flesh, when you're a young Christian, well, I'm going on vacation, so I guess that means, you know, put away and don't do the things I normally do on my regular schedule, except for, as a disciple of Jesus, stay at the feet of Jesus. Stay in fellowship with God, beloved. Don't ever think you can take a vacation on God. That's all Satan needs, and that's all your flesh needs to backslide completely. Anybody that's backslidden today, it started with one decision, not to be sober. Be vigilant. Notice, be sober, be vigilant, absolutely on guard, diligently seeking God and watching out for the enemy. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, you're Christ, and he's Christ's arch enemy, and he's your adversary. The devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. If you give him an inch, he's going to take a mile. If you give him an inch, he's going to take a mile. We're talking about hell being in the heart of the earth and not on the earth. Again, the term hell on earth is a misnomer for sure. We often hear people say that, I've been through hell on earth. Well, that person has been through hell on earth, other people would say. But is this a valid phrase that Christ's disciples should use? No. We're to speak those things which become sound doctrine, beloved. Titus 2:1. The Bible clearly reveals that God sovereignly gave man the choice to choose him and heaven or sin and hell. He sets before us life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. He wants us to choose life. He sent his only begotten Son so that we could choose life, but he ultimately leaves that up to you to say yes to him, just like in the case of a man and a woman. The man leaves it up to the woman to decide whether or not she wants to be with him and ultimately stay with him. That's, by the way, Deuteronomy 30, verse 19, and also Joshua 24, 15. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Personally, I am careful about this term hell on earth. This phrase would seem to minimize the reality of the brutality described in the Bible that is eternal hell. There's so much detail. If you look up the hell category in the drop-down menu, if you're on the laptop version, desktop version of safeguardyoursoul.com, or you can just put in safeguardyoursoul.com/hell, and you're going to find a cache, and I mean a C-A-C-H-E, of incredibly dynamic biblical teaching and scripture and graphics on this place called hell. And you're going to find out it's in the heart of the earth. It's not on earth. So we should never speak of hell on earth. One writer writes this on this matter. He says, there is a foretaste of hell as well as a foretaste of heaven, that is the Holy Spirit, the earnest deposit of him in us. On earth, with the full load to follow, the prodigal son experienced a foretaste of hell on earth before he decided to go home, unquote. So when someone says, we often hear them say, well, he's in a better place, you know, concerning people that died, that's not necessarily true. Jesus said most people are going to hell, Matthew 7, 13, and 14. So be careful about that, too. I don't agree with those type of things when they say that, because I don't know if that person was saved or not in most cases. Anybody that's saved has a clear testimony of the fruit of their life, testifying to a vital union with Christ. Now, I'll also say this. We have the thief on the cross, right? People said, only God knows. Yeah, only God knows. And God has spoken. His heart, Psalm 33:11. His thoughts, Isaiah 55. And if you die in sin, you're going to hell. If you die righteous, you're going to be in heaven. Revelation 22:11. Let him that is holy be holy still. If you live in holiness, means separated unto God in Christ. That doesn't mean you didn't stumble somewhere along the way at all. But you repented, you confessed your sin, you didn't play upon God's grace, but you stayed at the throne of grace inasmuch as you needed to, and you walked with Jesus after being saved in an abiding relationship. It's really how you finish, really. It really is how you finish. Paul said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. So you got to keep the faith. You got to keep the faith. Having the faith and keeping the faith are, you know, can be two mutually exclusive things. You've been born again? Good. Stay saved. Stay with Christ. Don't depart from him. Because we have his parable of the 10 virgins. They were all engaged to him, and only 5 made it. The other 5 committed spiritual adultery, became lukewarm, their love waxed cold, all of these Bible things, and therefore they were shut out of the eternal kingdom, even though they were once engaged to the great bridegroom. So when we hear people say things like, I've been through hell on earth, or he's been through hell, it's due to their going through a difficult ordeal or a hard season. Boy, don't some of us know about that. Yet, whatever they have been through on earth cannot possibly compare to the eternal, devastating misery that awaits the lost, everybody who dies in sin, in the domain of the damned. No matter the gloom, the despair a person has been through on earth in this life, it's not even remotely comparable to the unending misery that lies ahead for those, all those who die outside of Christ. So think about the mark of the beast that faces us in this late hour before our Lord's soon return. And let us consider that the way the Bible describes hell, such as 1 second in hell, I would say, is going to be worse than 1,000,000 years in the worst conditions on earth. If you take the mark of the beast, you're going to be branded irrevocably, according to Revelation 13 and 14, for hell. And many of you, perhaps that are listening, complied with the mask mandates and even went so far as to poison your own bloodstream with the bioweapon from China, put out by these Luciferian demonic satanic vaccine companies. Wow. And yet you're going to claim that you're not going to take the mark of the beast? Pretty much you already did. Not literally, because it's not in your right hand or in your forehead yet, but this ought to be a wake-up call to you and your need to truly repent, because you complied with evil. And if you haven't changed, you're going to easily take the mark of the beast, because you're not going to be able to buy or sell without it. That's going to be a huge test. And Jesus said, no man can serve both God and mammon, or money. The mammon, the money, the economic system. You can't serve both. You got to choose. No man can serve two masters. And the ultimate test is coming in the flesh to all of us. Who will you trust? Jesus said, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Notice Psalm 84, verse 10 through 12, for a day in thy courts. This is something to consider, saints. A day in thy courts, the psalmist said, is better than 1,000. One day in the presence of God is better than 1,000 days outside of his beautiful presence. Then he said, I had rather be a doorkeeper. In other words, a janitor, basically, in the house of my God, than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. See what he's saying there? For the Lord God is a sun and shield. There are no blessings outside of God. Even if you're wicked, he lets, for now, the rain to fall and the sun to shine, the blessings of his earth to fall upon you, because he's so good. But there's coming a day that you're going to be terminated. You're going to be in heaven, or you're going to be terminated into the bowels of eternal damnation based on your decision to honor God, admit you're a sinner, and fall at the feet of Jesus, who died on that cross one time for you, was buried and raised again from the dead, and he reigns at the Father's right hand, and he's coming back soon. God's calling you to repent, my friend. If you have any sin in your life, whether you've ever been saved or not, God's calling you to repent. And that means turn to him with all your heart and admit to him that you are a sinner and that you have violated his holy law. You have stolen, thou shalt not steal. You have lied, thou shalt not bear false witness. You've had other gods before you, that is before him, and that would be namely the god of self. You've done things your own way. You've gone your own way, and that's why you have misery. That's why you have shame and guilt, and God wants to save you. He wants you in his eternal kingdom. Jesus said that when he was going to die on the cross, John 12:32, that he was going to draw all men unto himself. Why? Because he loves you. But he's not going to force you. Gentlemen, have you ever really liked a girl, a woman, when you were younger, or now single, by the way, I'm talking about, and she didn't like you? Well, you realize you couldn't force her to come to be with you, right? Obviously. God is the same way. He's a gentleman. It's true. He will not try to force you. In the parable of the prodigal son, Luke 15, the father who was rejected by the son, his own son, his son wanted his inheritance and took off. Give me my money. I'm done. And he left. And his son, the prodigal son, lived in misery. He lived in utter misery. Anybody else ever been away from God? Whether it be for a moment, an hour, a day, or whatever. We all know that feeling. It's bad. Now notice the father did not go after him. The father saw him coming back when he finally came to himself and repented, the prodigal son. And obviously the father, and this shows the posture of God's love, was looking out on the horizon for his departed son to come back, because he loved him. But he did not go after him. God's not going to chase you. If you're being convicted, today is the day of salvation. You need to get saved, friend. That's the only nothing's going to get better. It's not only going to get worse, it's going to get beyond description worse, because you're going to hell if you're separated from this God who made us, man. This isn't religion. By the way, people tell me all the time, I don't want to be involved in religion. Yeah, me neither. And they're looking at me like, huh? They weren't expecting that. I grew up in religion, the Roman Catholic Church. You know, anybody should have enough of religion. Religion is the tool of Satan to keep you from God, not to bring you to God. Jesus came to give you a personal relationship with him and the Father. He loves you, man. And it's all about his life and his love. Notice verse 11. The Lord God, Psalm 84. What a psalm, right? This Psalm 84. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. He shines his beautiful sun on you and he shields you or protects you. That's what shield means. The shield is his protection, his love, his hovering over you in protection and love. The Lord will give grace and glory. What comes from God? grace and glory. See, that's all good stuff. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. He's going to bless his people. Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Psalm 68:19. What does that say? It says he daily loads us, his people, with benefits daily. Then he says, O Lord God of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. That's Psalm 84:10-11. Now, we are talking about the idea, this false idea, that hell is on earth, and it's not. My personal concern when people use this phrase, hell on earth, that boy's been through hell on earth, is coupled, my concern when people use that, is coupled with the great deception that all men die and go to, quote, a better place, a place of peace, which is a diabolical lie, to remove men's hearts from the fear of the Lord and the fear of going to hell. How many times have you heard hell preached lately? Jesus talked more about hell than he did heaven. Hell is the judgment of a just God upon everyone who dies having rejected the only salvation for their sins. And that would be the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and this so great salvation that he wrought. God was in Christ, the Bible says, reconciling the world unto himself, everyone he once saved. That's 2 Corinthians 5:19. We read also in 1 John 2:2 that Jesus Christ is the propitiation, the atoning sacrifice for not only our sins, but the sins of the whole world. That verse alone dispels any possibility that Calvinism could be anything but demonic. Jesus came and died for the souls and the sins of all men. And he said, I will draw, after I die on the cross, I'm going to draw all men unto me. And then those men have a decision to make, most of who will reject him. Jesus said, Matthew 7:13-14, enter ye in at the straight gate, for broad is the way, wide is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be, many. Notice, which go in thereat, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. That's a shame, but it's the truth, and Jesus foretold it. Most people are going to reject Christ and go to hell, but thank God for those who are going to receive him and take him at his word and be with him eternally, where there's going to be no more pain. I don't know about you, I'm looking forward to this. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. You know, we get impressed when we see these TV shows with all these mansions. Man, those are shacks compared to what's waiting for the children of God in heaven. Jesus went mansions for us. That's Jesus speaking, the one who made all things. And for 2,000 years, apparently, he's been working on those mansions. And one of them has your name on it, but you can't go there. You will not be admitted there unless you're willing to comply by repenting. Listen, Jesus is set, him and the Father are setting up a place where there's going to be no strife, man. Everybody's going to be in total agreement with God, who is love. He's not taking anybody in there that's a problem child. You know what I mean? There's one comedian, he always talks about, I don't watch comedians much, but I saw this guy, and he's really funny. A clip, he's saying, I don't want to be the problem. He's Italian and he's got that accent. You know, that makes a point. God's not going to bring the problem people into eternal glory. They're not in compliance. It's not that he didn't love them, but they've chosen not to comply with him. When you're complying with God, you love him and you're walking in his love toward him and his people. Jesus said, you commanded us to love the Lord and to love our neighbor as ourselves. There's not going to be any strife. Notice Revelation 21:4, God in the New Jerusalem, which is coming down after God clears out all the rebels to the earth from heaven. Revelation 21, here's verse 4, God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, anything you've been through on earth, all the hurts, the pains, I think this refers to, and there shall be no more death, no more death, nobody's going to die anymore, neither sorrow nor crying. It's not even going to be crying, not even going to be sorrowful or hurtful, all of that's going to be gone. See, we have that now because we live in a sin-cursed earth. It was perfect and pristine until mankind, Adam and Eve, sinned. Then the curse of sin came upon the earth, and then the hearts of men were deceitful and depraved above all things and desperately wicked, right? Jeremiah 17:9. There's none good, no, not one. And he goes into great detail about the specific sins of men, Romans 3. The thoughts of their hearts are only evil continually, Genesis 6. That's why there's going to be tears to be wiped away. That's why we have sorrow now. We have crying now and despair. You see people losing loved ones by criminal, sinful activity all the time. All of this sorrow on earth. Well, there's coming a new heaven and a new earth, as we read at the end of the book of Isaiah. And God's going to wipe away from his people, because they're going to be with him, not in hell. Are you with him today? Are you 100% sure, my friend, that's listening to this message, that you're going to be in heaven if you die today? I can tell you this, if you're not 100%, if you're only 99% sure you're going to heaven, you're as sure for hell as if you were already there, and you need to get with God. You call another Christian, that's a good thing to do, and confess Jesus before men and get right. If you don't know what to say, tell them this, I want to get right with God. They'll know how to lead you in prayer. And that the prayer isn't going to save you, but your repentance and faith in Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection is what God is going to accept and receive as a blessing to appropriate his salvation and to bring you into his kingdom, man. He says, I will in no wise cast out anybody that comes to me. I love you, man. Come to me. Come home to daddy. Come unto me, Jesus said. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, man, I'm going to give you rest, my beloved. We have no idea how much God loves us. Are you a parent? I'm serious. Are you, sir, ma'am, a parent? Can you even begin to describe the love that you have for your child? No, don't even try. You do know this, that the child gets, if you got a little child, they don't let us do that when they grow up, right? But if you got a little child, how many kisses does he get by, or she get by lunch? Probably at least 500, right? You know what I mean? When are you most feeling so warm and blessed? When you got that baby on your lap. The world could just be spinning out of control, and it doesn't matter. All right, so I'm just trying to illustrate. And God put all this stuff in place so he could show us how much he loves us. Come to Jesus today. Have a come to Jesus meeting. This may be your last chance. Call a believer. I mean a disciple. And you know who they are in your life. There's not a lot of them, but you know that one person. And tell them you're ready to get right with God. If not, go to the Peace with God page on safeguardyoursoul.com. Peace with God. It should be at the top at the menu. Dude, that'll lead you right to Jesus if you read about how you're separated from God because of your sin, etc. And it is a prayer at the end. If you pray that out loud to the Lord with all your heart, God's going to save you, man. And then you can tell somebody else, another believer, because Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father which is in heaven. But if you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father which is in heaven. So Jesus, when we truly know him, we're willing to confess him before men. And something good happens inside of us when we do that. We got a guy, Brother Luigi Di Benedetto in Australia. Absolutely wonderful brother. He got on that page and the Lord put him on that page and Jesus saved him after he read that. This was not long ago. And he emailed me and simply said, I made peace with God. In other words, I got on that Peace with God page and I learned about how I was a sinner and how much Jesus loved me, how he died for my sins, and I received him in repentance and faith and got saved. Hallelujah. He was testifying to another person, which in this case was me, when he emailed me that he got right with God. And now the guy is traveling in the beautiful country of Australia. That's God's country. It's run by a bunch of derelicts right now, but it's God's earth, and he's coming back to clear those demonic communist rebels out. Communist simply means Luciferian, demonic. Communism is the government style of Satan to steal, kill, and destroy from the people. Make no mistake. But praise the Lord, where sin abounds, the Bible says grace does much more abound. And so this brother Luigi is traveling the country. In fact, just a couple of days ago, he sent me an email and said a couple that were Jehovah's Witnesses repented and received Christ. That's just one example of all the people that are getting saved. In fact, brother Luigi himself, who was searching for the Lord, Satan sent the Mormons to him, another cult, and he was getting ready in the next few days when him and I met to be baptized into the cult of Mormonism. And so during our talk, I was able to share with him lots of resources on how false the Mormon church is. And he said, man, I'm